Shalom, Berachot, many blessings of peace. This is Dr. Akiva Gamliel of B'nai Noach Torah Institute and Rock Or Audiovisual Lending Library. This is a special study entitled HaTorah's View of the New Testament Account of Pesach. And this was a little bit of a spin-off of another lesson that we were giving, which is called Levels of Impurity. And even though the subjects are quite different, it just so happens that we were making a comparison in the New Testament and then just spun off of that and went into Pesach. Our special discussion is in the loving memory of Mr. Donald Wayne Belk and Mr. Gary Lee Belk. May they rest in peace. Now, as a side note, let's just look at chapter 12, and we're going to conclude our lesson right here. But just as a side note, it says Jesus came to Bethany 6 days before Pesach. And then we notice that they prepared a supper for him. So he came 6 days before Passover, and then they prepared a supper for him. So once they prepared the supper, that was evening time. Suppers among Jews are not eaten until after Marav. Marav is the evening prayers. And so that means nighttime had come, and we were into the fifth day. Now, that night was the beginning of the fifth day. During the very daytime, that is, that night, then the daytime following that night, that was 5 days before Pesach, and that's very significant. Why is that significant? Because it is Yom Asiri. It is the 10th of Chodesh Rishon. It's the 10th of the first month. And on the 10th of the first month, HaTorah tells us in Shemot that we are to take a lamb. Okay? This, we're taking it on the 10th. This is a lamb that's going to be slaughtered. Yet, what we find out is throughout the New Testament, there's many indications that there was no thought of taking this lamb on the correct time as stated in HaTorah. For example, notice Matthew 26:17. Now, it was one day before the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare to eat the Passover, the Pesach?" So what we have is we have an interesting situation here. I mean, the disciples on this most important holiday, when all of Yerushalayim is crowded with guests and there's no room for anybody anywhere, and now one day before Pesach, they're addressing the issue. Where do you want us to go and celebrate Pesach? It doesn't make any sense. This is not how things are done. And you look at this. One day. So where was the Pesach lamb? When was the Pesach lamb taken? There's no indication. From this indication, they're talking about taking it one day before Pesach instead of 5 days before Pesach. We notice in Mark 14:12 that he follows essentially the same story. Luke records it like this in chapter 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Pesach must be killed. The day of unleavened bread when the Pesach must be killed was late in the afternoon of the 14th day. In Shemot, that's Exodus, chapter 12, verse 6, it says, "You shall hold it in safekeeping until the 14th day of this month, and it shall be slaughtered by the entire community of Israel between the evenings and the afternoon." Between the evenings is from the time the sun sets until it actually is dark. And so during that period of time is when the Pesach lamb is slaughtered. And here again, we see that they're talking about, hey, where do you want us to go? And we have to kill the Pesach lamb. Now, John has an entirely different recollection than Matthew, Mark, Luke. He says in chapter 13, verse 1, "Now before the feast of Pesach, when Jesus knew his hour was come, that he would depart from the world." Then we see in verse 2, "and supper being ended." Okay. So we have three accounts saying that it was basically Erev Pesach that Jesus ate the Pesach meal, which is when you're supposed to eat it. Then in chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, we see John has a different recollection. He said it was before the festival of Pesach, and he called it a supper. He didn't call it the Pesach meal. And they said when the supper was ended. And so we have two conflicting stories here. We have the stories of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then we have the story of John. They do not synchronize. They do not match. The situation that we have is, depending on who you want to believe, it certainly had to be, when you kill the Pesach offering, the only time you can kill it. I mean, come on, folks, let's understand what's going on here. I mean, you've got thousands and thousands and thousands of little lambs that are going to be killed. And everybody in Israel knows when these lambs are going to be killed. There's a certain precise time. And so everybody is gathering to perform this mitzvah commanded by the creator of the universe. Okay? And so what we find here is that three accounts are going along with the mitzvah of HaTorah, with the command of HaTorah. And one account is saying, well, we didn't slaughter the Pesach meal. We actually had the meal before Pesach. So you've got two different accounts, and they cannot be rectified. This is why Christians frequently call this the Last Supper, because John calls it the Last Supper. He doesn't call it the Pesach meal, as the other writers do. Let's return to the timeline for just a minute. Remember, we were talking, it was 6 days before Pesach that Jesus allegedly came to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And that evening, they prepared him a meal. Now remember, you don't have your meal until after dark, until after Marv prayers are said. So we know that that began the fifth day. The fifth day is the day that you go out and select the lamb that's going to be slaughtered on the 14th of the month. So then that's 5 days before Pesach. 4 days before Pesach was the first day of the week. This is the day when the palm branches were spread. 3 days before Pesach is Yom Sheni. Yom Sheni is the second day of the week. 2 days before Pesach is Yom Shalishi, the third day of the week. 1 day before Pesach is Yom Rivi'i. Now, Yom Rivi'i is the 14th day of the month. This is the day of the month when the Pesach offering is going to be slaughtered late in the afternoon. When it becomes dark, it is Pesach. That is called Erev Pesach. That is the beginning of Pesach. Three of the men who wrote this said that's when Jesus ate the Pesach meal. One said he ate it before that time, and he called it the Last Supper. He didn't call it the Pesach meal. Now, depending on whose account you want to believe, if you go with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then you have a really, really serious issue. They're saying that the Kohen Gadol, they're saying that the high priest, they're saying that the Sanhedrin all broke the commands of HaTorah. And what command are they allegedly suggesting that these very righteous and very careful individuals broke? First, they're saying that these righteous individuals, the most righteous of all of Israel, were so worried about killing Jesus, God forbid, that instead of getting out there and slaughtering the Pesach lamb at the precise time that they were supposed to, they were gathering and congregating and planning on how they were going to basically kidnap Jesus and kill him, God forbid. We know they didn't do that. We know that's not how they would react. This is totally contrary to what HaTorah teaches. Shemot Yud Bet, Yud Dalet, chapter 12, verse 14, clearly defines that Shemot, Exodus says, this day, what day is this day? This is the 14th day. This is the day when the Pesach lamb, late in the afternoon, is slaughtered. And this is the beginning, the ushering in of Pesach. This day shall be for you a day of remembrance. You're not permitted to forget this day. You must celebrate it. You shall celebrate it as a festival to Hashem throughout your generations. It is an eternal statute that you must celebrate it. You must not eat matzahs for 7 days, but before the first day, you must remove all leaven. That's the comets in your home. That's the leaven that rises so that your soul will not be cut off from among B'nai Yisrael, from among Yisrael. The word lazikaron, to remember, is so significant. It's so incredibly important. And this word, lazikaron, tells us that it would not happen as the New Testament is stating it. Because lazikaron means to remember. And the only way B'nai Yisrael remembers Pesach is through the Pesach Seder, where we tell the story of Pesach. And if you go and you look in your, for example, go to the child's Haggadah from Art Scroll, and you'll see that the most righteous men in Israel, the way that they observed the Pesach meal, the Lazikaron, was to talk about the incredible deeds, the miracles that God performed at the time of deliverance of B'nai Yisrael from Mitzrayim, and they talked about it all night long. But the New Testament is saying, hey, we've got the chief priests, we've got the Sanhedrin, which are the most righteous people in Israel. And the New Testament is saying they ignored Lazikaron. They ignored remembering. And that's not true. They did not ignore remembering. They did not ignore Lazikaron. And fact is, this entire alleged story told in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is so contrary to what is happening on Erev Pesach. There was no court. The Bet Din did not meet on a high holiday. High holidays are days that are set aside to observe what God has commanded us to observe, and there is no time. There is no time for that kind of misbehavior. Doesn't happen. And so we have the New Testament presenting a story that is so contrary to what actually happens and to what actually happened on Pesach. And it causes one to wonder, what about Matthew? What about Mark? What about Luke? What about John? What about these men? Don't they have any common sense? Don't they understand? This is what happens at Pesach time. Who are they trying to dupe here? It's very hard to imagine. It's very hard to conceive. And so to me, as an observant Jew, it's very clear that these things that are alleged to happen didn't happen. And so how can you expect a Christian to know that? They don't know what goes on, for the most part, during Pesach. They don't understand what's going on. They don't understand the Bet Din cannot meet. They don't understand that the high priest and the Sanhedrin are going to be at home with their wives and children. They're going to be making merry. They're going to be drinking wine. They're going to be eating matzah. And they're going to be telling the story of Pesach. And they're going to have hundreds and hundreds of their Talmidim in their Pesach Seder. And they're going to observe Pesach in the way that God intended for us to observe Pesach. So, we were talking about levels of impurity. And what we have here is we have a story that incorrectly relates that these men would ignore the commands of God. They didn't ignore the commands of God. The Zakaron, they did remember. And so we have errors in the New Testament trying to portray the high priest. And really, they say chief priest. There's not two priests, there's one. One Kohen Gadol, okay? Portray him in an incorrect way. It's just disgusting. It irritates me. It's sad. It's filthy to me because I am offended by reading this story. This is an incorrect portrayal of what happens at Pesach time. Well, then you can go on and you can say, well, okay, if Jesus was, if this story did happen, and then that means that he was taken away and that he would have been crucified sometime before the middle of the day and would have died by the ninth hour, according to Matthew in chapter 27. It says that it was about the ninth hour of the day when, in verse 46. When Jesus allegedly died. Now, if you go to the end of Matthew, you see that there was a guy by the name of Joseph, and he was the one who supposedly got the body of Jesus, and he laid it in the new tomb, etc., etc. And then there was Mary Magdalene in verse 61, and other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Then the New Testament says in verse 62, now the next day, the next day that followed the day of the preparation. This is very confusing here. Because the day of preparation is the 14th day. And so the next day, now this is interesting because Jesus is allegedly crucified on the 15th day of the month. That was the day following the day of preparation. And so now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests came and Pharisees came together to Pilate. Again, we have these men are observing the festival of Pesach. They're not worried about Jesus. And here we're being told that they decided not to go to shul in the morning, decided not to say their morning prayers. They decided not to participate. Instead, they went to Pharaoh. There's just something here that doesn't match. Now we look at Mark's version of what happened. Remember, Mark said in 14:12, and the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover. That means it's on the 14th of Chodesh Rishon, the 14th of the month. And that is the day when we begin to remove all of the chametz from our house. And so that is the first day of unleavened bread. That's when we separate the leaven from us. That's when we get rid of the leaven. And that's the day that the Pesach offering is killed. You have to get rid of the leaven before you can kill the Pesach offering. So here we have on 14:12, first day of unleavened bread. He's clearly defining that. We went back and we defined that as Yom Rivi'i, late in the afternoon. Now, and now we go to Matthew 15, and we look at verse 42, and it says, now when the eve was come, okay, based on the New Testament description, Jesus died at the ninth hour of the fifth day. And so this is telling us now we're moving into the sixth day. Some people call this the day of preparation also because it's before Shabbat. And so that clearly establishes that that if this story were accurate, Jesus died on the fifth day of the week, and that Joseph came and buried his body at the nighttime. That's between the fifth day and the sixth day, at the nighttime. And that was called the day of preparation, the day before Shabbat. Then we notice that when we go to 16:1, then when the Shabbat was passed, Mary and Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, came to the grave site, and allegedly Jesus is risen. So what we have here is we have another unbelievable contradiction. It's very clear Jesus was not buried on the fifth day. Joseph clearly is stated as, and now when the evening was come, because it was the preparation. That is the day before Shabbat. So that means he was buried on the beginning of the sixth day. Okay? And so when we go from the beginning of the sixth day to the beginning of the seventh day, that's one day. And then we go from the beginning of the seventh day to the beginning of the first day. That is one day and a half. That is not 3 days. And notice what Matthew says. Matthew 27, 62 says, now the next day that followed the day of preparation. The day of preparation here is talking about the 14th of the month. And it says the chief priest. Remember, there's no chief priest. There's one chief priest. There's one Kohen Gadol. And the Pharisees came together to Pilate, saying, sir, we remembered that deceivers, and they're doing this allegedly on Pesach Day. They didn't do that. But anyways, the New Testament says, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Well, you see, he said, like Jonah. Okay, Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 entire days and 3 entire nights. I have read arguments by Christian theologians, and they try to say, well, you know what, the fifth day is 1 day, the sixth day is 2 days, and the seventh day is 3 days. Wrong. He was not buried on the fifth day. It clearly states in the evening. It clearly defines the day of preparation before Shabbat. That is the sixth day. It is impossible. Under any circumstances, can you justify, can you explain how this supposed prophecy actually happened. Did not happen. Simple as that. Next, we look at Luke's version, chapter 24. It's very clear. It says right here that in 53, and he took it down. That's the body of Jesus. And he wrapped it in linen and laid it in the sepulchre that was hewed in stone wherein never man laid before. No man had ever laid there before. And that day was the preparation. That was the sixth day of the week. And the Sabbath drew on. So it was well into the sixth day. Of course, it was at nighttime, but it was well into the sixth day. I mean, here I have a very basic Holy Bible. It's a reference edition of Nelson. It's quite old. And it clearly states right down here, it says F-R-I-D-A-Y, the sixth day. When we look at John's version, we just scratch our heads in amazement because John is saying that the Last Supper took place before Pesach. And so that would mean that Jesus would have died earlier than what we're talking about in Matthew and Mark and Luke's versions. But yet, we read here that in 28, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. And they gave him some vinegar. And then in 30, he said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. I gave up the ghost, according to the New Testament. Then in 31, it says, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation. They're talking about the sixth day. So is this indicating that for example, Jesus was hanging on this cross on the sixth day? That's the impression I get from what I'm reading right here. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. For that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate. And so we find, without any doubt, that three accounts clearly identify that it was the sixth day that Jesus was still on the cross. And we see that John's own testimony doesn't match. He's saying that it happened before Pesach, but yet he's saying that the body wasn't taken off the cross until the sixth day. It didn't say the sixth night. It said the sixth day. So we have to wonder what's going on here. Matthew says it was Joseph. Mark says it was Joseph. Luke says it was Joseph. But here we see, and there came also Nicodemus. Okay? And then took the body. They took the body. So evidently it was Joseph and Nicodemus took the body. And they buried it. And now in the place, this is 1941, now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and the garden was a new sepulchre where no one had ever laid. And there they laid Jesus before. There they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. So they're trying to give the impression that the sixth day was getting close to an end and that Shabbat was beginning. So we have quite a few stories here and they don't match. But we do know that regardless of which story you choose, the bottom line is the prophecy that he would be in the grave for 3 days and three nights, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the well, did not happen. The prophecy that we're making reference to is recorded in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, and nowhere does Hatanach say it was a whale, it's a big fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Folks, how do you get 3 days and three nights? You cannot get it. Simple as that. I want to thank you for joining with me, and I pray that Hashem will bless all those that observe Torah mitzvot. Shalom, shalom.